The Lord is going to move in this place. And I do believe that I have a word from the Lord today. And there's nothing more powerful, there's nothing more serious than the Word of God. Because it is by the Word of God that we know the truths of life. Amen. What a beautiful day it's already been. But I know that there's others here that the Lord wants to minister to. And I'm going to have you turn to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. I would like to mention for all the ladies' conference, Joy Conference is coming up very soon in 2 weeks. In fact, less than 2 weeks, it will be here. And so my wife needs to meet with all those that are going and maybe like to go, need to meet in the prayer room immediately to my left. And if you'll go there as soon as service is completed, make sure you get with her because we have to make sure we have rooms for everyone. And so if you would do that, I would appreciate it. It's going to be a wonderful day. We're going to have a move of God in the next few moments. And then tonight we have Pentecost Sunday night here at Way of Life, and there's nothing like that. We're going to have a powerful time of worship and preaching and prayer, and the Lord's going to touch us. We will be praying here in the sanctuary at 6 p.m. due to the stuff that is being stored in our prayer room for the remodel. I apologize for the inconvenience, especially to the men. I know you're having to go upstairs or having to go all the way over to the north foyer, but we're in the process. And let's pray for the city officials that they would give us the permit we need this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. He will bless them that bless us and curse them that curse us. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. So good to see the young bloods here doing a fantastic job in Little Elm. In fact, next month, they're going to start weekly services. Isn't that awesome? They've been doing the launch program for 6 months. Amen. Great to see what God is doing there. Simeon's been coming home to help them. And when he gets done with school, he's going to help them on Sunday mornings. And that's exciting. We love the Youngblood family. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Notice, Paul is telling us, he said, the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the Lord's words. And then Paul's response to the Lord's words were, most gladly, therefore, because of that, I will glory in my infirmities. That makes no logical sense. But I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And the reason for that is because when I am weak, then I am strong. Ephesians 5 and 25. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that it might be sanctified and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And just for the next few moments, and I know what time it is, I'd like to preach to you this message. It's not a sermon today, but it's a message from my heart falling to pieces, or could we say falling to masterpieces? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch my heart and my mind, oh God. Lord, that you administer to every soul that is in this place. Lord, you see the beating and the battering, Lord, that lives take just because of the world we live in and the circumstances, Lord. I pray that healing would wash through this place. Not just physical healing, but Lord, that the bruises would be healed. that the secret scars would be healed. Lord, that people would be made whole today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I minister in this house. Lord, let your word be a surgeon today. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Could you put your Bibles down and let's put your hands together. Magnify the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. This picture that I have posted behind me is a bowl that is obviously cracked. But in the cracks, it has been put back together, and it has been put back together very specifically with gold. Kintsugi is an art form in Japan that restores cracked vessels or broken ceramics with gold, leaving the piece even more beautiful than it started out from the potter. The word kintsugi is Japanese for golden joinery. The idea behind it is not to hide the ugliness and brokenness, but instead it uses gold to make those places shine and to illuminate and to expose the damage. And at the end of the process, the piece is even more beautiful having been broken than it was when it was whole to begin with. And so I give you this analogy today, this object lesson, that there is no one in this place that is wholly put together. There is no perfection in the house. You know, sometimes we look at people and we look at their persona, and we see them drive up in a nice car, and we see them get out and they are dressed properly and they look nice and their clothes are pressed and clean and maybe in style even sometimes, you know. And we look at them and we think, wow, they have got it all together. They must have it. They must have everything in its place. They must have the perfect life. But what you don't realize is that everyone is broken in their own way. That everyone has scars and has struggles and has troubles. That they may put a smile on it, but inside they may feel broken and they may feel useless and they may feel ineffective and they may feel like they cannot be successful. And they see you looking at them thinking, hey, they've got it all together. And they think to themselves, oh, if you only knew. And it adds to their shame and it adds to their hurt and it adds to their guilt. But yet God is wanting us to understand that there is none good but God and there is none perfect but Him. And I want you to know that in this church, this is a glorious church. This is a blood-bought church. This is a powerful church. This is a holy church. This is a destined church. But I will also tell you that it is a church made up of imperfect parts. From the pastor to the pew, from the pulpit to the door, there is no one in this house that has zero regrets. There is no one in this house that has no shame today. There is no one in this house that doesn't have things that they can remember in their past that they would not want to expose to you today because of what you would think about them. And so the whole time you're thinking, well, I'm not good enough. I can't. I won't. There's no way I can be. You need to look around and see that you're surrounded by a great cloud of imperfect people that are living for God and that are blood bought and that God is using them to minister to others, even in the midst of their pain, even in the midst of their struggle. There are times that we look at ourselves and I look at myself and I wonder, why in the world, God, would you choose me? Because I know me so well. What talent or attribute do you see that you feel was so extraordinary, so redeeming that He would put such confidence in me? The task before us seems so insurmountable. Oh, we must reach the world. We must bring in the harvest. We must nurture the new. We must challenge the old. We must give hope to the hopeless. We've got to be a good father, a good mother, a good employee, a good boss. We have got to be a good spouse. We need to pray, and we need to study, and we need to witness. And all of these things seem to pile up on our lives. And the responsibilities and the burdens far outweigh our strength, and they outrun our abilities. When we look at us, all we can see are the broken places. All we can see are the imperfections. We are overwhelmed by the enormity of it all. We are minimized in our own sight by the mountain of God's purpose in our life. And we ask ourselves, what's the use? Why try? I could never be like him. I could never be like her. I could never be like them. That's why the Bible says that it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. Not so much that you don't want to improve, but you don't know what they're going through. You don't understand their struggle. You may think, hey, they've got it all together, and I wish I could be like them. I wish I could be married to her. I wish I could be married to him. I wish my house looked like that. But you don't know what's going on inside the walls. You don't know what people are dealing with in their minds and their hearts. But I have great news for you today, that in all of your brokenness, in all of your weakness, in all of the mistakes, in all of the imperfections in your life, you are in the exact perfect place for the will of God to be done in your life. Amen. Oh, let's clap our hands for that. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your mindset. It doesn't matter your bruises. It doesn't matter your scars. He is calling you today because in your weakness is he made strong. Does his glory shine all the more when we have imperfections? Overcomers and victors are not perfect. They are just imperfect people who persist, who persevere, who repent, who get back up, who try again, who trust again, who love again, who give again, who fight on when they don't feel like fighting, who climb even though they don't feel like climbing, and run even though they're too tired to run. They believe even though when doubt overshadows their mind, their fear, they still believe. Let me give you some godly choices. Moses. Oh, he's a murderer. He stammers, stutters. But I want you to be the Savior of Israel. Abraham is an idolater, a liar. He was scared. But hey, you're a father of many nations. Gideon, he's a coward. He's hiding. He's cowering. He's fearful. But the angel shows up and calls him a mighty man of valor. David was a shepherd boy that nobody wanted. Father forgot him when the man of God came to the house. Ultimately, after becoming king, he was an adulterer and a murderer. But yet he is a man after God's own heart. His throne is established forever. Peter was outspoken, hot-headed, denied the Lord, made so many mistakes. But oh, when the day of Pentecost came, he was the one that spoke. Saul was persecutor of the church, hated everything that was going on, but God loved him enough to knock him down, blind him physically, and open his mind spiritually, and became the missionary of all of Asia. On and on, imperfect people. Oh, I could tell you about another Paul. He goes by Kevin. Imperfect. So many mistakes. So many doubts and fears. So many times coming up short, even now. But yet here we are. On and on. Imperfect people. Our walk with God is filled with defining moments. A defining moment is not a place of arriving at perfection, but it is a place where you choose to go on when it feels like giving in, and you feel like giving up, and you want to turn around, but you go on anyway. The following men pressed on even against the odds. Christopher Columbus wrote on his voyage to the New World. Every day, he said, he ended his journal entries with, "Today, we sailed on." Talked about all the mistakes they made and all the sickness and all the hunger. But today, we sailed on. Sir Edmund Hillary said, "It is not the mountain we conquer, but we conquer ourselves." Roosevelt said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Winston Churchill said, "When all was against them, the world thought there's no way that England could survive, that the island would be taken." He said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." And they endured to see the victory of the Allies and the defeat of the enemy. God loves our weakness. He chooses fugitives and murderers. He chooses people with speech impediments to speak for him. He chooses a ragtag band of slaves to become the people wherewith he would entrust his future. A primitive group of nomads would take on the walls of Jericho. Little David would take on Goliath. Four leprous men versus the Syrians. 12 men versus a churchless world. Our weakness is actually an attribute that God chooses to exploit. As you read through this word today, as God inspired men to write the Holy Scripture, he refused to sugarcoat the failures of his heroes of faith. On the contrary, he had the writers highlight, list, and at many times even explore the depth of their failures and their consequences. Can you imagine being Jacob, being the one that would ultimately be called Israel, and think, hey, there's people 2,000 years from now reading about how you deceived your brother and how you tricked him and how you lied to your father and how you did all these terrible things just to get ahead. Can you imagine him standing here today and say, oh, I wish they wouldn't know that. But oh, at the same time, it stands in stark contrast to the deceiver that got ahead any way he could get ahead, to the day that he finally decided that he was going to live for God. And he got a hold of the angel and he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And so the power of that day stands in stark relief to the one that was of defeat, was of deceit, was of mistakes. The fissures and imperfections and broken pieces become the perfect backdrop for God's power, mercy, and love. It becomes the perfect frame for the masterpiece of God's love to be painted. If you were already perfect, if you already had everything together, God's mercy wouldn't seem like much. Going down in the waters of baptism, Sister Denise, wouldn't seem like much if you walked in here with a halo over your head. But you know what? You're just like the rest of us. You walked in here with guilt and shame and a past that you probably wouldn't want to project to everyone. But still, mercy met you there. God thrives on making up the difference between our weakness and our challenge. God will make sure that the glory was his and his alone. He made the difference between their weakness and their challenge. He is the great equalizer of our life. So when the enemy reminds you today of your lack, when he points out your weakness, when he scoffs at what seems to be your futile efforts, just agree with him. When he points out that imperfection in my life, oh yeah, you know you got this. You know your struggle with that. You know you don't feel adequate. You don't feel like you got all the wisdom you need and you can't preach, you can't teach. Somehow we just got to wrap our mind around, you know you're right. I can't. I won't. There's no way that I could. I can't be beautiful. I can't be holy. I can't be righteous. But oh, in my agreement, I am recognizing what Paul found, that beautiful truth. My grace is sufficient. Because in weakness, am I made strong. Therefore, I will glory. Yes, I am full of mistakes. My life, like this piece of pottery on the screen, is filled with fissures, cracks, mistakes, signs that it has been misused and abused, signs that it was not treated like it should have been treated. It did not have the care taken to take care of it and for there not to be a chip and for there not to be a break. And yes, you're right. But oh, that even shows even more so what my God can do, because in all of the breaks, in all of the fissures, in all of the struggle, in all of the pain and the neglect, there I find the golden joinery of God as He puts me back together, as He pieces my life back together. And when it's all said and done, everything is better at the end. It's even more beautiful. Now, not only does it have the value of the pottery, but it has the gold that has been tried in the fire. Amen. That golden vein of mercy, that golden vein of restoration, that golden vein of power, of anointing that I do not deserve. I do not deserve. Amen. Yes, you're right. I am inadequate. But in my weakness, I am strong. This is a glorious church. And I refuse to be defined by my past, by my weakness, by my circumstance, by my imperfection. I refuse to be defined by my perception or others' perception of me. Revelations 12 and 10, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. We overcame. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But when I stand before Him and I'm able to rush to the throne without fear, without doubt, and I cast all of my accomplishments at His feet, what a joy it will be to hear, "Well done, thou good faithful servant." Oh, let me expose all of my frailties. Because in this life I've fallen to pieces. But because I chose to give Him the pieces, now they are master. because through the fissures and the cracks and the mistakes of my life, it threads a thread of gold, a thread of blood that can only set me free. Amen. So when I stand before him, I stand before him perfect, not because of my perfection, but because he chose. He chose to make me again. Oh, go down to the potter's house. The potter's house. The clay was marred in the hands of the potter. It was unruly. It wanted to do its own thing. It wanted to be its own vessel. But the potter didn't throw it away, did not discard it. But the Bible says he made it again. Would you be willing to bring your broken pieces? All the struggle that you're having today. The things that you see when you look in the mirror. The things that you hear when you open your mouth. Things that haunt your mind when you lay down on the pillow at night. Are you willing to say, here, Lord, here's my pieces. Can you do something with them? And all of your mistakes and all of your frailty is the perfect frame, the perfect art form, the perfect medium for him to show his glory. Amen. Could we stand? Could we stand? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The God is in this place. He knows right where you are. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows the frailty. But oh, hear the word of the Lord today. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Could you come? Bring your pieces today. Bring your brokenness today. Oh, hallelujah. I was walking through the building the other day and I heard somebody playing and singing. Beautifully broken. I had to just stop and cry in the darkness of the hallway. Beautifully broken today. Oh, yala boshoro boki arasha yandara mai. Yala la moshono yarasi yala kianda yala la 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 moya. Oh, you see the herd of your people, God. I feel it today as their shepherd. Lord, let your word reach deep into their lives, Lord. Their uncertainty, their fears, their doubts, their thoughts of inadequacy, God. Lord, reach in. Reach in. Oh, Jesus. Let your glory be made manifest. Let your glory be made manifest right now in the name of Jesus. In every life, in every heart, in every weakness. Oh, yala mosho, yala kiano, yaya diano, yasaya. Oh, that's it. That's it. He loves you. He loves you. Ah, raborororoboshaya. Oh, yes, he loves you. He knows right where you are. He knows all the mistakes. He knows all the fears. But he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. Yes, hallelujah.